So this is probably the hardest homily in my life to give. So I wanted to sit down for it. In today's gospel, Jesus uses a very beautiful phrase, and it's a phrase that's unique to him. It doesn't appear anywhere else in the Bible, where he says, "Amen, amen, I say to you." And then he goes on to talk about the beauty, the reality of the Eucharist. And commentators have spoken about that. Jesus is really trying to call our attention to something. And today's terminology would be like Jesus writing a letter, all in capital letters, and highlighting it in yellow, underlining it, putting asterisks, and saying, "I really have something very, very important to say to you." And I do today as well have something very, very important, and in many ways very sad to say to you. And that's why I wanted to sit down and have a heart-to-heart chat with each one of you. And there's 3 points. The second one is the hardest one, so we'll get to that in just a moment. But the first really comes from today's gospel, and it's where Jesus says that he is the living bread, come down from heaven, he's the bread of eternal life. And that is the one gift that Jesus has given us, that is really the most important gift we have as Catholics. The fact that we have the Eucharist, the fact that we can actually receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity every week when we come here to Mass. It's the gift of Jesus himself. It's the greatest gift that we have as Catholics. It's something we need to hold on to and something we always need to cherish very, very much. We describe the Eucharist as being the source of the entire Christian life. We describe it as being the summit of the Christian life. It's everything that we are. And the whole reason why I became a priest was so that I could celebrate the Eucharist for people throughout the world. Why all of you come to Mass every week, it's so you can remain united with God in this holy communion to be one with him. It's the greatest gift we have, and it's one that we cherish very, very, very much. But then that leads me to our second point, and this is a hard one, so if I cry, forgive me, but I'm trying really hard not to. It's the outrage that I feel as a priest, and I know all of you are feeling very much. Some of you have come to speak with me, some of you have spoken with me on the phone, others have sent me emails. We're all obviously outraged of the news that came out from Pennsylvania this past week. I only read snippets of the grand jury report, and I have to tell you, I was sick to my stomach. I'm actually sorry that there's so many kids at this Mass today. I'm not going to go into details, but you as parents know what I'm talking about. And that, you know, a few weeks ago I had to tell you about Archbishop McCarrick, and that was a very sad one because he was very kind to me. He was very good to me, very helpful to me. I never saw any of those things that people described. And that was very painful. And then to throw this whole Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania thing on top of it was really, really painful. But then on top of it, which I know some of you know about already, and to me this was kind of almost really like the straw that broke the camel's back for me, and this may come as a shock to many of you, but my predecessor here, Father Jim Weiner, I know many of you knew, he served here for 3 years. Unfortunately, there's an allegation against him from 30 years ago. It had nothing to do with children, and obviously it was not here. But it's an allegation that's being reopened and reinvestigated right now, something that happened at the seminary shortly before his ordination. It pains me very much to share that with you, but I thought it was really important for us to have an open and brutal and honest dialogue about these themes. I don't know any details beyond what's contained in the Catholic News Agency report, but I have to say, reading it, it just started to make me cry. I know when I shared with Deacon Andy yesterday, we were shedding tears as well. It's very, very, very painful to read. And for me, it kind of brought me back to 2002. I was just a very young priest at the time, and I was serving at St. Gabriel's. And I remember when the whole thing erupted, in Boston, and then it just rippled throughout the country. I just remember as a young priest getting up into the pulpit, and I had a whole homily that I wanted to give. And all I could do is I just got up there and I just cried. I couldn't even say any of the words that I wanted to say. And it really, really pained me then, and it pains me now. And I know it pains all of you. I know how sad it is. And the thing for me is that I love being a Catholic. I love being a priest. I love being a Catholic priest. But when all this stuff comes out, it really rocks you. It really shakes you. It really bothers us very, very deeply. And so much so that just this other week, some friends invited me out to dinner. And, you know, I was in the seminary for 14 years. I've been a priest for 18 years. So in the 32 years of my life, it was the first time ever I considered, like, not wearing my collar because I felt ashamed. And I felt, you know, are people going to spit on me? Are people going to say things? And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm even thinking that. But then I prayed a little bit. I said, you know what? I am going to wear my collar. I'm going to wear my collar. Because the vast majority of priests are excellent holy men. The vast majority of us really do try to serve our people, and we do so to the best of our ability. We're definitely not perfect, and I'm the first to admit that I am not perfect. But I did, and I'm glad that I did, and I will continue to do that, because I really am proud to be a Catholic, in spite of all of this. So I wanted to share with you, it's my third and final segment of this homily, three very simple ideas that have helped me weather these storms, and I hope that at least one of the three little phrases, little ideas will help you. And the first one I already mentioned to you about 3 weeks ago when the news first broke, and it's a phrase I remember learning early on in the seminary, and it's a very simple, very powerful. The church is divinely instituted, but humanly constituted. The church is divinely instituted, but humanly constituted. That is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that created our church. And in that sense, our church is perfect. It's a creation of God. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's extended all throughout the world. It's the largest single organization in the world. It's beautiful, the amount of incredible good that, excuse me, the good things that we do. But throughout our history, it's always been humanly constituted. There's always been bad Catholics, bad priests, bad bishops. We even have had bad popes. I mean, it's just part and parcel of the reality of our church, that we're all human and we make big mistakes sometimes and do really sinful and bad things. The second phrase is probably a little bit harder to follow, but something we learned in, again, theology, and never really understood the application of it until this week. And it says, ex opere operato, ex opere operantis. And what it is, it's a Latin phrase that makes a distinction, that every time we receive a sacrament, ex opere operato, that is, the very act itself confers all of the graces of Jesus Christ. So every time you receive communion, even if you receive communion from a priest who then eventually goes to jail, or a bishop who confirms you eventually gets defrocked, it doesn't mean that you did not receive Jesus. And I say this because a priest friend of mine who was ordained by Cardinal McCarrick said to me in a real kind of depressed way, he's like, Steve, I don't even know if I'm like validly ordained. I was like, no. I said, of course you are. And then that's when the phrase came back to me. The second part, ex opere operantis, is a reminder to us as priests, right? That we're called to be the holy operators. When we give you Holy Communion, we ourselves should be living holy lives. And that's the ideal situation, that you have holy priests living holy lives, serving holy communion, and doing holy things. That's the ideal. I'm striving for it. I know Father Vincent, Father Carlos, Deacon Andy, we're striving for it. We're not perfect, but we are striving for that. That's the ideal. But sometimes it happens that we don't always meet that ideal. But know that every sacrament you've ever received, you have received the fullness of Christ in that. And then finally, the last phrase, which I think is a lot easier to keep in mind, is don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I thought this was all finished in 2002. I thought we dumped out gallons and gallons of bathwater. I thought we were finished and we could just hold on to the baby. But it seems we have another few gallons and gallons to go. But that phrase, I think, is so beautiful, so simple. The bathwater is disgusting. The bathwater needs to be thrown out. But the baby is precious. The baby deserves to be loved and held and cherished and nurtured and protected in every single way. And just know that that is our faith, is the baby, our sacraments, our truth, our church. Everything is there. So, and as I said to the Cardinal the other night, we spoke very late at night, I said, let all the bath water out. Just open it all out and just let it go once and for all. But keep in mind that we do have a lot of reasons to be proud as Catholics. We have an amazing church. Think of all of the schools, all of the hospitals, all of the orphanages, all of the parishes, all of the outreach programs, all of the incredible things that we do as a church. That's the baby. That's what we need to hold on to. Don't let the bathwater sully that. And then finally, just to conclude, and I mean this with my most sincere heart here, if any of you want to come in and speak about this, if you want to vent about this, if you want to cry about this, if you want to scream about this, just call me. Come in. Some of you have already done that. I've already had a few meetings, a few emails, a few phone calls. We're here for you. We love you. We want to serve you. And if I could say amen, amen, I say to you, you will always receive the fullness of the sacraments here. You will always receive that. And while I'm here as your pastor, I promise you to strive to do my very best always to be a holy priest who brings you holy sacraments. But I want to ask you one favor. As we are here for you, please be here for us. This is a really, really, really hard time to be a Catholic priest. This is a really hard time. So pray for us and please be here for us. We really do need to lean on one another. Amen.